You're listening to the Kerry Woodham Mornings Podcast from Newstalk ZB.
A couple of weeks ago, I took a call. I didn't recognise the number, but I took the call anyway, and I very quickly regretted that I had done so. The caller was a very nicely spoken man who, after pleasantries were exchanged, wanted to know why I had stopped giving to a charity I had previously supported. I agreed that, yes, I had supported the charity for a very long time, and yes, I understood the good work it was doing, and yes, I absolutely knew that times were tough. In fact, that was the reason my monthly debit had stopped. My circumstances had changed and times were tough. That wasn't good enough for my caller. No. I would have picked up the cue. Yes, my circumstances have changed and, yep, I'm sorry. No. Drilled down. Before I came to my senses and stopped responding to what were quite personal questions, I'd blurted out that the reason my home address was no longer the same was because I'd separated from my husband and we'd sold the house and I'd bought a house with the children. We had a big mortgage. You know, I've suddenly found myself pouring out my life story because I was ashamed that I was no longer giving to the charity. And it was a kind of emotional blackmail that this charity worker was engaged in. I just about gave the man access code to my accounts so he could see, you know, there are still some charities you support. Why those? You know, honestly, I could have hung up, but all I had to give him was time. So I gave him that. And my sort of laying myself bare as a form of apology. I was listening to Sue Barker this morning talking about the struggles Star Jam is facing. And I wonder just how many of you have had these difficult conversations with the charity workers who are putting the acid on those who used to give and who are no longer giving or just cold calling. I love Star Jam and the work it does. I've been along to a number of Star Jam gala events and they are professional and they are fun and they are incredibly important for the young people who are performing. One of the best interviews I've ever seen conducted was a young man who has Down syndrome, who was impeccably dressed in black tie, who was well prepared, well researched, and interviewed the entertainer Michael Barrymore when he'd first come out to New Zealand. He was brilliant, asked really tough questions, the sort of questions no other interviewer would dare ask. He was brilliant. I've really enjoyed the nights I've spent at Star Jam. And the work they do is really, really important. But man, there are a lot of charities, all of whom are doing really worthwhile work. But for many of us, circumstances have changed. And while Sue Barker told Mike Hosking that, look, there are 600,000 companies and up to 500,000 trusts, so 28,000 is not a surplus of charities, I disagree. 28,000 charities is a lot of charities, and a lot of them are niche charities. So there's a lot of cancer charities because not all cancer charities cover a particular family's need or a particular individual's need. So we have 28,000 registered charities, up from 22,000 6 years ago, twice the number of Australia and three times the number of the United Kingdom per capita. And there are those within the charity sector who think that there should be a joining up of some of the smaller charities with a mutual interest, and that would cut costs and make them more efficient. Merging, or at least collaborating when you have a shared interest. The charity sector has an annual total income of more than $21 billion and it's supported by more than 217,000 volunteers and more than 145,000 full-time staff. That is a lot of people. And who is sustaining that? You and me. We're doing that because New Zealanders are not mean. It doesn't matter how small your income, you could be on a pension or a benefit or a lowly paid, you know, critical worker, and you will give. That, and that's right up to the wealthy philanthropists who give a lot. But most New Zealanders give. Individual giving in 2019 was $2.4 billion. But again, you know, these are unusual times. Families are cutting back on their own costs. Their own families are going without. And charities have to accept that all the haranguing of people, forcing them to explain themselves, all the narration of sob stories is not going to get blood out of a stone. If the money is not there, it is not there. And charities have to understand that too.
For more from Kerry Woodham Mornings, listen live to Newstalk ZB from 9 a.m. weekdays or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.